Today we have a lot to cover, so I'll have much more conversation going. And at some point I may ask you more questions, but I want to do a quick review of what we did last two weeks ago. We call this good enough parenting. It's not perfect. It's about you developing and growing, okay? So what you have to be careful about is not coming here and going home and feeling guilty and feeling so bad about yourself. It's about growing. Does that make sense? It's you growing and becoming what God wants you to be. Last week we touched, we said as a parent you're a source. So parents are the source of all things good for children: food, clothing, shelter, love, spiritual growth, wisdom, knowledge. We talked about that. That parents are a source. You have to be the source for your children. It's very important. A manager makes sure things get done, goals are reached, demands and expectations are met, including homework and all that stuff that comes with it. Kids not born with self-discipline, they need, they need help. Yeah, they need discipline and guidance. So please, as a manager, you need to provide that. Guardian, discussed in our previous discussion on basic safety, many boundaries. Mainly, you have to provide boundaries for your children. It's just to deal with protecting your children and teaching them how to protect themselves from others and how not to touch others in an appropriate way. So you are a guardian. So these are the three things we touched last time. We remember this. If you're not providing these things, life traps develop. During that process of unmet needs, we develop life traps. The technical term of life trap is schema. Life traps are deeply entrenched beliefs about ourselves and the world which we learned early in life. There are things you believe about yourself that are not true, but they're caused because of how you're raised. That's just what is destroying you. And it gets in the way of your life as you grow older and in your 40s really comes up and your 50s keeps coming up. So we have to start pulling this stuff out. So for us to help our children, we have to also help ourselves and see that there's change that needs to happen there. Okay? Life traps are broad themes made up of memory, emotion, and cognition. They're very broad. They're different things you tell yourself. Things about how what you think and who you are and what kind of things you cannot do and accomplish. So you've put ceilings over your head. And that ceiling you keep giving to your kids as well. And you keep pushing it around. It affects how you parent. So it's very important to watch and ask yourself. A lot of the conflict we have with our children is based on life traps. That our children actually trigger things in us. That is very annoying, but it's very much things about us that need to change for us to meet those needs. Am I making sense? So life traps, if it was an American map, if you have a life trap, you don't have the full potential. Because the full potential is there, but you don't know that because of a life trap, you'd only have that kind of look. But then when the whole map comes together, the full potential comes. So the whole idea of doing this workshop together every Wednesday is to give you the full understanding so that you can come to the full potential of what you can do. So don't say, anyone can start, it's never too late. Does that make sense? Remember I said that in the last one? So when you have life trap, you tend to have these issues. I know we've used somebody who looks like this, but they see themselves like that in the mirror. It is not just about weight, it's just about how you think. It's about your view of life, your view of everything. It is distorted. It's not in place. You look at things, but they never seem to be in place. The Bible can do a lot to change that. Just because you're a Christian, there's a lot that has transformed you. But there's much more you can do to keep changing. So there are many things in your character, in your attitude, that are maybe misplaced and out of place that are creating this. So you have to be aware that that's what a life trap does. The three coping styles. We all do this, and it's not godly. There are better ways. We'll talk about how a godly way of coping. We can fight, also known as counterattack. In other words, if somebody says one word, you end up saying five more words to them. You want them to feel double hard what you're feeling. You're not thinking like that, but unconsciously you attack them quite a lot. They will not put you down. You say you're very strong. Or you can just be an avoider. What you do is you always say, can we talk about that another day? But another day never comes. Can we talk about it tomorrow? But tomorrow never comes. So that is your way of coping. Or you can say, I'm sorry a lot, but nothing nearly changes. It's always, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But nothing changes. So that's how you cope. You can beat me down all you want. Leave me alone. These things tend to be seen, as we've seen, when you see the surrendered person, look at how mommy would deal with. Okay, let me come here. We said earlier, I'm just revising a little bit because we've broken up, that when you raise them like that, I told you not to forget your lunchbox. Why are you so stupid? It's just a lunchbox. Is forgetting something a crime? I know you may not want to spend another $2 to buy another lunchbox. It's just a lunchbox, or $6. Don't lecture them over that. The goal is to raise a child that is godly, and you're raising a child for God, but also with the right understanding. So the goal is not about the lunchbox. But we make it so much about the lunchbox, we explode and put the kids down so much. And so that's what happens. Over time, that's what she becomes. And she tends to gravitate to people like, Mom, strong. And this is what happens. And she says, sorry a lot, but she's thinking I'm stupid. But that's not true. Forgetting a lunchbox doesn't make you stupid. Is that true? We forget stuff. But that's the message she gets long term. Why? Because of the language used. So watch what you tell your children when you're raising them. What about this? And if you remember the video we watched, there was a kid that would cover their head, not wanting to hear what's going on. So here, you see that they're discussing. I'm not reading everything because I already read this. Remember what I read about. But this adult came from here. This adult would never, when the mom would start talking or the dad would start talking, he would do this, avoiding to deal with things. And because they're not dealing with, look at me when we're talking, let's talk through these things, eventually here's what we get. Where are you going? Let's talk. Sorry, I might be here for a while. They never deal with conflict well, they always go away, they avoid. So when we are avoiding, as we never deal with things, and they pile up, and we're getting angry and upset. But that is what is your parenting eventually. And this is the counter-attacking guy. If a glass breaks at a two-year-old child, is that a big deal? No. Okay, let's face it, what if a glass breaks with a 13-year-old? You're afraid to talk about it now? It's just glass. But it costs money. It costs money. Nobody's saying a word. I'm not, because you're not sure if I'm trying to trick you into the game here. You have to raise the child above the instruments you have in your house, including your TV. You have to talk through that and make that a place of training and not a place of anger and putting them down. I'm learning that big time. I'm realizing you don't have to get it out of control. Just calm down and figure this out. Does that make sense? This counterattacking you're doing has nothing to do with being godly. It is you. You have to be, what would God do? How does God parent us? How does God watch us? It's very different. You follow that? So this child becomes this. The wife just said, honey, I was worried after 8 p.m. You should be so great. It goes so high. I mean, today I was driving and I saw a lady and I thought she must be counterattacking because she was talking to the lady next door in the car and pointing at her. And I'm like, well, do you have to be that close? You're standing around. Why can't you just speak and be in your seat? And I thought, this is a typical counterattacking setup. But it happens. And all of us do that sometimes. We all can counterattack, be surrendered, be avoiders. We do these three things. But we tend to have two main ones. So understand that that's not godly. You need to come back to the godly point, and we'll come to that eventually as I get to it. So let's talk about today's class, part three. Meeting the needs of stable base, predictability, and reasonable limits. So all that was revision. So let's talk about today. Every child needs a stable base, predictable, and reasonable limits. Stable base is
mom and dad are here, that we eat a certain time, this happens a certain time. It runs on a certain schedule. The kids, it's very good for a child to see that. It's predictable as well. Reasonable limits. What can they touch? What they cannot touch? What should they do? What can they not do? This is important for children. And if you have to teach that as you go forward. These core needs, meeting the core needs of stable base, predictability and guidance and protection can best be summed up in the word boundaries. A child needs to know boundaries. What are the boundaries? How does he speak to a father, to a mother? How does he speak to older people? How does he speak to our friends, to themselves? All that is boundaries. What do they touch? What do they not touch? Who's not supposed to touch them where? All that is boundaries. What are boundaries?
Limits.
Limits. That's it? Limits. Yeah, defines what is okay and what's not okay. That's very important. Those are boundaries. Just like that, that's a boundary. If you go in there, you're trespassing. You're out here, we're okay. You follow that? Your skin is a boundary. If anything goes beyond the skin, it's invasive. There are many other things we can talk about a boundary. So all that's a boundary. And that's important to start teaching our children. So sovereignty. Sovereignty over a nation equals national boundaries. Bully nations. Kids can be bullied, right? So they have to learn boundaries. How do you deal with a bully? How do you deal with that? What are you supposed to do? When they're not learning that, bully nations are the mercy of their neighbors and territories. So they are the mercy of bullies. So kids, if they don't have healthy boundaries, then kids just take over them and control them. And they don't know how to say no to that. They don't know how to talk to the teacher. They don't know how to say, they just take it in and take it in. They have to have boundaries. Personal sovereignty, personal property, ourselves, that parental, bullies. And you have to watch out as a parent, are you bullying your children? You may think you're winning by dominating them, but you're bullying them. You don't allow them to express so that you help them understand what's going on. Okay. You can be bullying and that. You're only doing that because that was done to you. You may not know that, but you actually do what was done to you. So you just fire right back very hard. So this is not to make you a bad person. It's to make you aware when you're doing it. Just to make you aware. That's when we talk about these things, get the point. It's not to make you a bad person. It's to make you aware so that you can start pulling back and getting healthy. So, a child, I am happy child, a happy child is eager to learn and to give to the world. If a child is not happy and ready to give to the world, what's the opposite of that? Self-centered? Angry? What? A sad child, they can be sad. What? Afraid? Introverted? Sometimes that's temperament from how they're born. They don't talk a lot, but they're very confident kids. So be careful about those two. Depressed, you got to watch out for depression. They're not eating and all other things, oversleeping, not getting out. So these are things for us to start watching out, right? I'm not happy and it's everyone's fault. That's the opposite of that. You see them in the Walmart sometimes? All the time. And sometimes you're wondering, should I say a word to this parent? What's going on? He says, I need to give them good enough parenting ideas. What's that? Why do kids need boundaries? Why do kids need boundaries? To be safe? Secure? Trust is big. Teaches them responsibility. That's big. Today's kids have a challenge with that, being responsible. They have a huge challenge. So we got to stick with boundaries and give them responsibilities to carry their load. That's why it's very important. An accurate description of children is that they are little people who are out of control of themselves and attempting to control everyone around them. That's true. So when the kids do this, some of us cope by attacking our children. Remember how I told you about the three ways of attack? So if you're attacking the child, the house is quite animated, is loud, is noisy. It's not a peaceful place to be, right? Or you're surrendered, the child is just getting away and nobody seems to say anything, the child's a nightmare. Or you are an avoider and you just blame each other. And nobody's doing anything about that child, but we're blaming each other. Somebody has to take responsibility, and you got to figure out how to be calm in the storm of it. Very calm. I have one that tries me, but I have to be very calm in the storm of it. I say, okay, we got to be calm and look at you. We're going to talk about this stuff. You have to be calm. God put them there to test you sometimes, to remind you of things that you must do different and change and be a different person. It's not payback. It's just God trying to make you to be godly. There's nothing about that. Character is almost everything. Most of our problems result from our own character weaknesses. That is what actually is eating our parenting. That when you really look at your parenting and look at it closely, why is it not going anywhere? It's your weakness in character. I'm not saying this to put you down. I'm saying this to make you aware. I don't want you to think, oh, here we go. No, no, no. Raise your head up and understand you're going to face this thing head on. Amen. Understand, be aware that there's a character thing that might be playing, and stop feeling sorry for yourself, 2 Corinthians 7. Get indignant about it and look at it and say, what needs to happen? Amen. All right? Don't have worldly sorrow. Get indignant about this. There's a weakness. So that's what you have to understand. A person's character will determine the destiny. So we must really wrestle with our character here and make sure that it's much more reflecting God, much more reflecting Christ, much more reflecting. Then we can raise these children well. Does that make sense? So when we talk about good parenting, it's all about you, your character changing. It's, as we change, we can help our children. Without that, it'll not work. Okay? Preventative medicine. Grandma used to say, an ounce of preventative is worth a pound. Worth a pound of cure, right? So, let's do it now. It may not have been given to you because your parents were ignorant and didn't get training, but you're getting the training. So you'll be the grandfather that changes the curse that has been going on and on and on. You'll be the grandfather that changes that. Because you change for your children, and your children change for their children, and the whole generation begins to be different. And they can write history about your generation and says, grandmother X, grandfather Y, changed our family after that point. What they didn't know that he was going to church, and she was going to church, and something happened there. So that's the most important part we need to understand. We have to begin making those changes. The change is not overnight. We have to take on things step by step. You have the books and say, here's what I want to work on for this month. If I just work on this, get a character around this, I'll be okay. And that is a developmental thing you make for the rest of your life. Character never stops growing. It's something you grow in. Dangers for those without boundaries. Inability to say no to hurtful people. So if you have a girl and you're not raising them up to say no to, and they get married to somebody who is not in good place, they are not able to say no to that hurtful husband. Or the other way around. You follow that? Inability to set limits on hurtful behavior from others. They can't say no. Because it's not clear to them. Inability to hear no from others. That's a big one in today's generation. They don't hear no properly. Say no, they just skip. We have to stay with it. Inability to gratify, to delay gratification. Organizations can take advantage of that. Experience life as a victim. They're not happy. They blame everyone. Why are you not happy? It's you. Why are you not happy? Because you didn't say this. You didn't do this for me. Disorganization and lack of following through. Can't keep a job like that, can you? So parenting is so crucial. Schools don't teach those things. Schools get you to do your SATs and get you out. Parenting does this. Stick with it. The teacher has no time to take care of 35, 25 kids to teach all that. That's too much for a teacher. She's paid to get your kids to pass, or he's paid to get them past school, and then you got to do the character building. So you have to spend time and connect with them and talk about these things. Internalize boundaries. If boundaries are clear, children develop several qualities. If the boundaries are clear, several qualities come into place. Well-defined sense of who they are, what they are responsible for, the ability to choose, the understanding that if they are, who can read for me, who they can, if they choose well, things will go well. And they will choose poorly, they will go poorly, if I'm not wrong. Okay? They'll suffer. So choice. Do you think we have a choice in life?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? I have a choice. Mike just punched my nose off. What are you talking about? I have no. You think I have a choice?
Yeah.
You sure? See, you're in quiet. You're not sure about that choice. I do have a choice. I have a choice to either punch back or ask Mike, what happened? I said, I was just trying to love you, man. You have a choice. But when you don't have a choice, you're very reactionary. You do the same thing that was done to you. Just as an example. If somebody cuts you in the traffic, you cut them back. It's lack of choice, lack of character, lack of boundaries. When people are rude, you're rude right back. Lack of boundaries. And sometimes our kids are doing that to us. They say things and we say things right back. We don't go, okay, wait a minute. What did the child say? We don't come down and say, can I talk to you about what you just said? We don't do that. We write right back. We're teaching the wrong stuff. And it doesn't matter what you say. Children tend to do more what you do. What does character look like? Character is loving, unselfish, responsible, free, no victim mentality. So, how is your house? That's the question. How is your house? Is it loving? What's the environment in your house? Are people responsible for their things, what they're supposed to do? Or do we have a lot of victims there? They are blaming each other, pointing each other. What's the climate in the house? Are people taking responsibility for themselves? We can start today. We can start that. That's the whole point of me asking that question. It's not to put you down, it's so that you can start today. What does character look like? You initiate. You see a problem. You say, well, let me find out. I'm feeling this. Can you tell me about that? That is why it's important to look at the environment in your house. Do kids initiate? Do you initiate? Do we initiate to each other? So we don't like each other, but we keep quiet for a long time and say, who will speak first? That is not character. Character is, okay, I'm feeling some things. Let's talk about that stuff.
Right.
Respectful of reality. I may talk about this a little bit more on Sunday, but I can talk about it today again. We get stuck as a people because we don't accept reality. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about resigning. I'm talking about accepting. There's a big difference. When you resign, you're surrendered. Accepting is being in the place to know what's going on here and long enough to understand what's happening so that you can make very wise decision that God, you've prayed about it. God is showing you what needs to happen. Not being in a hurry. And growing. So as parents, there's a lot of growth we have to make. As grandfathers, we have a lot of growth to make. We never stop growing. That's if you read the scriptures and First Peter talks about and continue, if you continue growing in these qualities and faith and goodness, these qualities, you will not become ineffective and unproductive. It's a continual journey. So as people that aspire at raising children, it's a continual journey as you raise children. What does character look like? Truthful. I hope you don't beat them up for telling the truth, but at least you can give them logical consequences and we'll come to that. Humble, understanding they are not the center of the universe. Today's world, everybody wants to walk around, man. They're like, I'm ready, I'm ready. I'm like, ready for what? I'm like, we're just making life, let's make life happen. Why are you ready for what? We just need, imagine if we were humble, the world would be a better place. I'll let you go. We'll have a good time. Hey, what's going on? But because everybody's ready, you talk to, well, but what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Somebody looks at you, you're like, what happened? And we grew up in neighborhoods like that. We grew up in places like that. But what you don't realize, you're doing that to the kids sometimes. They look at you like, what are you looking at? Sometimes they're just loving you. So let us change the environment in the house. Okay, let's talk about parenting styles here. Today's a lot. So I got to cover a lot today. There's a lot of going on here. So authoritarian, what Isaiah goes, that was my home. You didn't question my dad. He was tall. He was imposing. He was a policeman. He came with his black uniform, big belt, with a gun hanging by. You didn't ask questions. He spoke. It was then. His nickname was General. You didn't ask the general questions. If the general spoke, you moved. And if you tried to resist, you would know who the general is. It was a hard play. But I am the seventh coming to, you know, I say I'm the last born. I can explain that another day. But the point is that I got the benefit of him trying such a hard drive and becoming mellow as I came by. And I saw how that it was different with me. Honestly, I think it was an eye-opener. You don't win a lot when you're that strong. Most of my siblings that were raised like that are very hard people, very angry. They're ready. They're ready. Yeah, try them, they're ready. They'll show you. Permissive. Anything goes. I think this is the disease that we have today. Anything goes. We're giving them cell phones, they're only 10 years old, we're giving them everything. You're like, how are you giving them all this stuff? Do you know what's going to happen? We're just giving them everything. They don't work for nothing. We don't have deals on how they can wash a car and get something. We're just giving, 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 giving. I mean, it's prosperity in some ways, but it is destroying our children. Yeah. What you need to go is here. Powerful, active parenting, authoritative, loving, purposeful. It has to be powerful here. Love your children enough to set limits and boundaries. Make sense? So far, today I'm not discussing a lot because I have a lot of slides. I'm trying to kill them before time. Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, which with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. That's a good one. It's a good one. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two key words, training and instruction. So if you've played any sports and you're training, you don't get kicked out because you made a mess. It's like, try again. Try again. And instructions. But you cannot do that well if you don't have a connection as they're growing up. You got to spend time, spend time, spend time, spend time. Have a connection. An entry point, a place of trust. Proverbs 6:9-11. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. I think that sometimes we can be lazy to raise our children. Okay, let's talk about this. I try to spend I try very much to give every child quality time every week. It tends to be a Sunday. Sundays, they're tough. I may have come from Bible talk meeting, but I promised it needs to happen. And it's so clockwork, they ask me, when are we going? If I'm acting like I forgot. They're like, Daddy, are we going? What are you talking about? We can get just lazy about it. And then instead of spending time with them, we put on a video game or watch a program. No, spend time, talk to them. Observe them as they talk to you. Observe their features and how they're talking to you. Spend time, connect with this children. This doesn't guarantee everything. It's good enough parenting. What is important is you did your best. That is very important. That you are really there for them. They cannot turn around and say, you aren't there. Does that make sense? And if you did, you just say, I'm sorry, we can start over. Let's see what we can do.
To maintain discipline without it, this
sorry, cannot. Let me go back. I'm going to play this clip on an authoritative parenting style. This clip on that.
To maintain discipline without it, this house cannot be properly run. You will please remember that, Fräulein?
Yes, sir.
Every morning you will drill the children in their studies. I will not permit them to dream away their summer holidays. Each afternoon they will march about the grounds, breathing deeply. Bedtime is to be strictly observed, no exceptions.
Excuse me, sir, when do they play?
You will see to it that they conduct themselves at all time with the utmost orderliness and decorum. I'm placing you in command.
Yes, sir.
Your new governess, Fräulein Maria. As I sound your signals, you will step forward and give your name. You, Fräulein, will listen carefully, learn their signals so that you can call them when you want them.
Okay. Do you get the gist of that? Is there a relationship?
No.
Is it very orderly?
Yes.
Do you think there's room for these kids to start being two personalities? In the home, they're very orderly. At another place, they're different. So that's authoritative. Just an idea of that. That can be. It's a movie I think you've all... Many of us know this movie. It's an old movie. You can watch that. Let's see the next one, which is a very permissive parenting style.
Really nice.
I know, right?
Make sure you check out our mom's boob job. Their heart is rough.
I'm home. Hey, Kylie.
Hey.
Hey, hey, hey. How are my best girlfriend?
Hey, this is George. This is Katie.
Hello, sweetheart. Hi. Welcome to our home. I want you to know, if you need anything, don't be shy, okay? There are no rules in this house. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. Right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
Okay. I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
This is your room?
It was my parents' room, but I made them treat me.
Hey, put on 98.8.
Okay, Do you see what happens in a very permissive family? Morals really go down. They watch things they should not watch, behave the way they should not. Friends go the wrong, come in, and mom is trying very hard to be cool and be a friend instead of being a parent. We're supposed to be parents, not friends. And that's what's going down the wrong direction there. So they're trying to be so cool, the moral is going down, the child is left to the TV. So she's picking up habits from the TV and how people dance and all that stuff. Everything is going the wrong direction. Let's see if we can get a better version of what we're trying to get here. Let's see, this is the better one. This is what we want to do. But this is a class setup. Let's see what happens.
About your dreams and aspirations.
Oh.
Hey, man, it's luck. What's up? Rule number three, we all line up to go to the lunchroom.
You know what? Here's my rule. I ain't standing in no line.
Oh, okay, Shamika. But because we are all a family, if one of us doesn't get in line for the lunchroom, then none of us gets lunch. Very quietly, two lines right up against the wall. It's good. It's good. Nice and quiet. Oh, looks like somebody's not hungry. Stop fighting. Let's go. No talking. And stop. Shamika, did you cut in line?
No, sir. I did not.
You do know that I have eyes in the back of my head, right?
I was here. Ask her. Stupid.
All right, we're all going to stand here until Shamika decides to tell the truth.
I didn't cut in no line.
Hey, you're in Mr. Clark's class. No food.
Yo, come on, Mr. Clark, I'm starving, man. I'm about to faint out in the pool.
Julio, get to the back of the line. And take that hat off. It's up to you whether we eat or not.
Shamika, this is a family. And families treat each other with respect. They never, ever lie to one another.
Did you cut in line? We are all just waiting on you. About your dreams and aspirations.
Okay, we can cut that. She actually gets her to go back. The difference, let's discuss this. How different is this video from the other two? He was patient. Took his time.
He didn't get angry.
Didn't get angry. Consequences and logic was working.
Expected the truth.
Yes. Give choices. You have to give choices. Lay the groundwork. It's a true story. He was from North Carolina and that was happening in New York. Torrey was cool. And he changed things around. So it's a true story. I mean, you're going to watch that movie. It's awesome. You see how he turns things around. Some hands? What?
He didn't compromise.
He didn't compromise. He took his time with it. We have found that we don't lie.
He taught the kids how to help hold each other accountable.
Yeah. He did. Yes.
He didn't back down.
He didn't back down. It took long.
He
talked her with respect, even though she was totally. Did you look at her eyes? If you're not in control, you're going to slap her head off. You're like, oh. You got to be patient. I'm not slapping her head off. Yes. What? He had a support system in place. We got to work together. Yes. He kept reiterating we are family. So the values. Yes, my. Exactly. Not authority, relationship over. That's now, this is very effective. You have to get the relationship going and line that as you influence, they begin to realize you're the source of it. You're the source. You're the manager. Remember the three things? You're the source, the manager. What's the other one? Source, manager? Guardian. Yes. Okay. Common unhelpful statements which are counterproductive to engaging cooperation. Blaming and accusing. When you blame the kids and accuse them, you go nowhere. It is you. You go nowhere. I've been in both ends of the cycle of this thing. And I've seen the difference. Sometimes I'm like, okay, let's go this way of just logic. And you see how it really changes. Name calling. I hope we hold our tongue. I hope we hold our tongues. Name calling is very destructive to a child. So name calling, commands don't work. You're just going to end up bullying. Sit down! And eventually you're just bullying it. You got to give consequences. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. And then they see, like, see, he just kept up with the consequences with the kids. Threats. Sometimes we have a PhD in threats. We can give threats forever. We never do nothing. We just threaten. Just threaten children, threaten this, but we do nothing. Nothing happens. We are professors of PhD, but nothing happens. Well, we've got to come through with the consequences. They were not eating until they behaved. It was just not going to happen. What about lecturing and moralizing? If you don't change, you're going to be poor. This is going to happen. Am I making sense? Yeah. The fact that you're quiet, I must be speaking the truth somewhere. There's room to change. We can do that today. We can go home today and be different and not moralize and lecture and all that. Warning. This is not boxing. This is real life. Deal with it. Okay? The choir treatment. That's terrible. You're teaching them bad manners. Because that's what they'll do to their spouses and their children. Remember what we talked about character. Teach them to initiate. If you're not happy, talk about it.
Yeah, that's right.
I make an effort if my kids are not happy to be very happy. Because I want them to know that I'm not going to be unhappy because you're not happy. I try to be very happy. I say, I'm way happy. Why are you whistling? I'm happy. What are you talking about? The world owes you nothing. I mean, you're going to go to the office and be sad. You think your boss will be sad. You hope your boss may be very happy. What's wrong with this one? Help them to initiate. So let's not do choir treatment. What about sarcasm? That's huge. And sometimes you're doing sarcasm with each other. You're saying something about their mom and they're there. You're saying something about their dad and they're there. You're saying something about... And we're putting each other down. You don't want to do that in a family. That's not good. Comparisons. Why are you not like your sister? Why are you not like your brother? Why are you not like your cousin? Why are you not like the neighbor? Why are you not like your friends? They're your children. Stick with that. Don't go comparing. What about prophecy? The way you're going, you're not going to finish your high school. That's a prophecy right there.
The prophet has spoken, oh prophetess, be careful. What you say may come to pass because you are enforcing it. Speaking has a way of coming to acting. People that speak a certain way act a certain way. So be very careful what you say, because you're acting it to those kids and you're showing them that they can't make it. If your own mother or your own father doesn't believe in you, who will believe in you? Do everything you can, give them a chance. 5 tips for engaging cooperation. So key word, engaging cooperation. Now the younger ones, the different rules, but as they're coming up, you're working on engaging cooperation. And you can do that even as a very early age. One of the places that I like to go to is when I go to the library, it's amazing how kids get involved with their parents. I see that in the library. Describe what you see, the problem. There is a wet towel on the bed. You have to describe it. Here's what I see. I see that you're angry and you're not being nice. I see that you're rolling your eyes. I see that you're looking down. I see that you're very upset. Let's talk about that stuff. Give information. The towel is getting the blanket wet. You want to do it calmly. This is going to mess. This is what's going to lead to. This is what's going to do. Give information to the child. All right? Say it with a word, not with sounds. Word, 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 word. Get the word out. Say it with a word. All right? The towel, the behavior, the attitude, the way you take your word to do that. Talk about your feelings. I don't like sleeping in a bed wet. I don't like it when I come home and you're behaving like that. Or you're behaving in a disrespectful way. When you look at me with dishonor and talk through that again and again and again and again. It's training. And you may say it week one, week two, and go on for a long time. Some children get it quicker than others. Write a note as they get older. Hand above the towel rack. Write those notes up sometimes to get them to see what they need to do. I went to a house and I saw how this lady had put so many notes in the... It was in Zambia. And she had older kids. They were all in the 18. And she had a note on the fridge, a note on the door, the toilet. And I'd be walking around and I'm watching, I'm reading. I'm like, all right, this place, don't play. And she had to do more because the father wasn't there a lot. He was gone a lot, so she had to do a lot. And these were grown men, but they were living with them, and there was all these notes written around. So how to do this, how to do that, and it worked. The place looked pretty orderly when I got in. So the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this; they will not go unpunished. Let's help each other raise our children. But let's learn to do this in humility, okay? Let's not put each other down. Let's help each other out as we're doing this thing together. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And help our children to understand this as well. It's how you say it. Remember how the teacher was talking to the children? It was very effective. Compare that to the other two. He was very effective. He was getting somewhere with it. Life trap entitlement. If you don't provide this, the life trap of entitlement shows up in the rich and poor. It's not only rich kids that have entitlement. Even poor kids have entitlement. The powerful and the weak. But no matter who you are, it ruins your relationship. People don't have relationships when you're like this. So the key thing is that if we don't provide stable base, predictable lifestyle, kids grow up entitled. So you see a lot of those entitled guys? Check and see how they grew up. That's the big issue. There was no boundary. It's not clear for them. So they take charge of things in the road, in shops, in other places, and you wonder, what happened? Entitlement. Don't get angry. Walk away. You might get hurt for no reason. When the core needs of the stable base, predictability, guidance, and protection are not met, kids do not learn limits, and they often develop life trap of insufficient self-control. So they have that problem. Okay? types of discipline, natural consequence. Let me come to the end here. Types of discipline that you want to use is natural consequences, logical consequences, parental consequences, nipping behavior in the bud, lowering the boom, appropriate alternatives. You may struggle with some of this last two, but you can do the other ones. Natural consequences, logical. All this is easy to do, brothers and sisters. Logical, we agreed on this. If this doesn't happen, the logic is you can get this, right? You saw that in the movie, how he walked with the logic. Parental consequences. You can put up your consequences. That's what you're going to do. And that's what we can do going forward. A family with boundaries is a happy family. Amen? Let's have a good time raising them. See you next week.